Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
So as you heard last Wednesday, we are going to make babies here every Wednesday afternoon on Lunchtime Live. And we're delighted that the professor, well, master of the National Maternity Hospital, Shane Higgins, is with me in studio today. Shane, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, Andrea. I'm good, thank you.
Good. So we are talking today about where to start. And I know people will say, well, you know, like literally, yeah, absolutely. There is the elements of that. But I suppose it's the preconception, it's the prep of the body for men and women. That's what we want to chat about today. If any of our listeners are maybe thinking about this, if this is the space you're in at the moment, if you have questions, send those in. If you want Professor Shane Higgins to answer those for you, the WhatsApp number is 087 1400 106. So, first of all, for men and women, how many months out do you need to prep the body before you start?
Well, there's no exact data on that, but I suspect in leading up to what I'm about to say, it's probably you're talking 6 to 12 months. So people should look that far out at their lifestyle choices. So their level of fitness, their weight, their consumption of tobacco, alcohol, things like that. And they should try and address those issues before they really give thought to just getting pregnant. And there are things that you'll do at that point. So you have to stop whatever form of contraception you're on. And that might have a little bit of an impact on to when you're going to start ovulating. So the injectable progesterones, the Depo-Provera, they could actually have up to 6 months before you have a regular cycle and a regular ovulatory cycle.
Okay.
As opposed to other ones, which within a month, 2 months of you discontinuing them, you should be ovulating regularly at that point in time.
The amount of people over the years, Shane, that I've heard, you know, or have told me that like they came off the pill sort of thinking that it might take 6-7 months for the body to regulate, and then within a month.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
and for hormone, for the oral contraceptive pill, that's almost what you'd expect. For Implanon, which is the long-acting progesterone, that's what you'd expect. For the Mirena, which is the intrauterine system, yeah, that's exactly what you'd expect also. But it might take a couple of months, so you have to factor that into your plans in terms of when you're going to try and conceive.
So that's the contraception. You've talked about smoking, drinking, vaping. Somebody asked me about
that. Yeah, look, there's a big study taking place in Dublin at the moment comparing three groups of people and the impact of smoking, vaping versus none on the outcomes of pregnancy. So it's relatively new in terms of what we know about it and its impact on pregnancy. Compare it to smoking, you'd probably say it's better than smoking, but is it safe? I think the jury is very much out, and I suspect there will be concerns about vaping and pregnancy.
Okay. Booze, food?
Yeah, so food, we would always encourage people to have a healthy diet, and that's very important. I think in terms of, for example, caffeine intake, I think you can reduce caffeine intake in preparation for conception. Caffeine for both men and women can affect ovulation and sperm production.
How much, Shane, then, should you be taking?
Well, the recommendation in pregnancy is that you should not have more than 200 milligrams of caffeine a day. So there's about 60 milligrams in a shot of espresso. So you're talking about three shots. Probably, I would not recommend that to my patients. I'd say 1 to 2 coffees a day by way of espresso shots during pregnancy.
During and in the months leading up to it?
Similar. And if you're
if you are as
intent as you could be to get pregnant, you should probably say, look, I'm going to cut out tobacco, I'm going to cut out alcohol, I'm going to cut out smoking. In that preparation for conception.
Now, these sort of guidelines that you've mentioned, and this is for people that are maybe thinking or in that preconception stage, are these applying to both men and women?
Yes, they are. Absolutely.
So it's not just the woman needs to hear
this.
No,
a lot of these things will have an impact on spermatogenesis or sperm production as they will on your menstrual cycle and regular ovulation.
So if he's sitting at home in the evening, you know, telling you 6-7 months out not to have a glass of wine on Friday, but he's having 8 coffees a day.
Yeah, look, I think that far out, you can talk about moderation. You can talk about alcohol in moderation, coffee in moderation. But I think when you're getting that close to, you know, you're trying and you've been trying for 2 or 3 months and you've not had success, I think the things you need to think about are giving up the alcohol,
that
cutting down
impact.
Your caffeine and cutting out smoking for sure.
Okay. Listener wondering about what is the healthy diet in the months leading up to this?
Well, the healthy diet will be fruit, vegetables, pulses, grains, lean proteins. That's the sort of the diet. I think there are specifics, say, for people who have a more restricted diet like vegetarian, but you also need to talk about folic acid, and that's very important. That is really important for couples who are considering getting pregnant, is that you're taking your folic acid for 3 months before and the first 3 months. Now, that might be 6 months or 9 months by the time you get pregnant, but you start taking it 3 months before your planned conception date.
And what is the benefit of that, Shane?
So there's two very specific benefits. It protects the baby from neural tube defects such as spina bifida, and it protects the baby against cleft problems such as cleft lip and palate. Now, it doesn't remove the risk, but it just reduces it significantly.
And do people need to go to a doctor to find, like, is it as simple as just going in to a pharmacy and getting a supplement?
It is, but it's a very good point. And I think if people have any concerns about their ability to conceive or have any health issues that they'd like to address, then going to your GP and discussing these with them. It also goes to patients who have chronic illnesses or who are on long-term medications. They should certainly review their medical conditions with their specialist to make sure they're in the best condition to embark upon a pregnancy. Mm. And we're seeing a lot of patients now who perhaps previously wouldn't have considered getting pregnant or for whom it might not have been possible, such as cystic fibrosis patients. We're seeing those patients now coming through and having very successful pregnancies, but they need to be in really good shape from their medical conditions, and that means going to see their specialists. And also patients who are taking any sort of long-term medication, they need to make sure that it's A, safe to get pregnant on it, and whether they need to change the dose up or down for pregnancy.
Listener here, Shane, sorry, 087 1400 106 if you have a question for Professor Shane Higgins. I'm 32, my partner's 39. We've been trying for 6 months and four on and off months prior to that, on and off due to travel with work, etc. My husband doesn't want to be an old dad, as this listener says, and is now eager to look into IVF, but I'm thinking it might be too soon, says this listener.
Yeah, look, I think if this person is fit, healthy, has made the right lifestyle choices, then we would say you should be trying. If you're under 36, you should be trying for at least 12 months. And that's not on and off. That's consistently trying. And just to, I know you might want to come to this later on, but I mean, you need to be, if you're ovulating every month, it means you've got 12 chances a year to get pregnant. But if you're ovulating only every second month, you might only be getting six chances a year. So it's important that you're tracking your cycle. It's important that you feel yourself, and a lot of women will be able to determine this for their own, from themselves, that you are ovulating every month. And it might be the physical signs. You might be using ovulation prediction kits. You might be getting blood tests done with your GP or with some fertility group. But you need to be ovulating regularly in order to conceive.
So you need to, whether that's using any of the period tracker apps, whatever it is, you need to be keeping an eye on.
Yeah. So if you have there's two halves to your menstrual cycle. There's the half that comes up to the day of ovulation, and then there's the other half from ovulation to the first day of your next period. The second half of that cycle is called the luteal phase, and it's typically 14 days long. So if you have a 28-day cycle or a 27-day cycle, you're pretty sure that you're ovulating on day 14 or day 13. But you can supplement that by using like ovulation prediction kits.
I was just about to ask that question here. Yeah, should everybody be... Is ovulation sticks, is that what they're called?
Ovulation sticks, ovulation prediction kits. So they detect a surge in a particular hormone called luteinizing hormone, which occurs just around the time of ovulation. So you just dip your stick. It's similar to checking your temperature before you get out of bed every morning. You see that rise in temperature of 0.5 of a degree, and that would indicate that you're ovulating. Some patients will get pain in the lower left or lower right of their tummy around the time of ovulation, indicating that they're ovulating. And that's the sign that you're ovulating.
Mm. So it's knowing, I suppose, your cycle, knowing when you're ovulating and sure then.
Yeah. And that's the, you know, having intercourse. If you've plotted your cycle for 3, 4, 5 months, you know when you're ovulating. It's having unprotected intercourse in the 2, 3, 4 days leading up to ovulation, the day of ovulation, and possibly the day after. And that's maximizing your chances without any form of assistance in getting pregnant.
Okay. And that's obviously the window. And then, as you say, whether people might have irregular periods or ovulation times, at most you have the 12 chances in the year.
Yeah. And the more irregular your periods are, the more likely you are to be having what are referred to as anovulatory cycles, where you're not ovulating. So this couple that have, if you're having regular 28-day cycles or thereabouts, trying for at least 12 months would be what I would suggest. If you've got any issues that you're concerned about that you think might impact your fertility, then absolutely go and see your GP.
So you think, so people should be trying for 12 months and then maybe go and speak to the GP if there aren't issues. But does age come into that? Like if you're 40, 41, is it 6 months and go to the GP?
No.
So still 12 months.
No. If you're over 30, sorry. Yes. If you're over 36, it should be after 6 months, you should be going to get some advice, assistance, okay, and direction on where you should go. Yeah.
Now, please ask Professor Higgins how soon after a C-section can I try to get pregnant again? I've been reading conflicting advice about this.
Yeah, and there is a lot of conflicting advice about that. And I think that you're talking about how, what's the integrity of the scar? And I think after 6 months, the scar is as healed as it's going to be. So, you know, I don't think people would be in any rush after 6 months having had a cesarean section. But I think 6 to 12 months is probably time enough for you to be able to plan another pregnancy.
I stopped taking the pill in November with intent to get pregnant from January. I have only had very light periods every 4 weeks that last about a day. Diet, fitness, everything's been good the past year. Should I worry, says this texter?
I certainly wouldn't worry. I think having a menstrual cycle length of 28 days is in keeping with ovulatory cycles. But you can check to see, that's the key, check first of all to see if you're ovulating. So get your ovulation prediction or chart your menstrual cycle and check your temperature. Or if you want to go the extra yard, go to your GP and ask for a day 21 progesterone. That is the gold standard in terms of determining whether you're ovulating or not. So if you get that surge in progesterone at day 21, it means you've ovulated around day 14. And then you can use that to just, again, focus your attention.
Is that just a test, Shane?
That's
asking?
A simple blood test that your GP can do for you. And it just checks your progesterone level around day 21, taking day one of your period as day one of your cycle.
Okay. Can you please ask Shane, can you become pregnant without getting a period? I'm 32, haven't had one for 5 years.
Extremely unlikely. You're extremely unlikely to be ovulating if you're not having a period, unless there is some structural abnormality with your uterus. But you should certainly have. It's not good for a woman age 32 not to have had a period for 5 years. So I would advise her to go to your GP, first of all, but to be referred on to a gynecology service in any one of the hospitals or closest hospital who should be able to investigate her appropriately.
Yeah, listener says, I currently have the Mirena coil, now planning to get that taken out. I don't really have periods since I've been on the coil. The odd bit of spotting here and there. So when will I know if my period as such has officially started again?
Okay, so that's one of the benefits of the Mirena, is that you can have, for as long as the coil is in place, you will have no periods. Now, not everyone has no periods, and you've alluded to some spotting throughout. But once you take the Mirena out, you would expect then a period to be back in approximately 4 to 6 weeks after its removal, because you're just kicking. So the way the Mirena works is it keeps the lining of the uterus extremely thin, and that's how it works. And therefore, once you take it out, the hormones that are present should stimulate the lining of the uterus, and you should have a period 4 to 6 weeks later.
Okay. Have I got this right now? Please ask Shane if it's possible to get pregnant if you're on, is it the Everol Conti HRT? I have osteoporosis, so need the extra estrogen.
Yeah, so if you're, again, many factors will feed into this. Your age, are you having regular menstrual cycles? Are you ovulating? If this is extra HRT, it's extra estrogen or extra progesterone, whatever it might be, it won't necessarily have an impact on your ability to conceive. It's, first of all, it's not a contraceptive, so it's important that you appreciate that fact. And if it's there because of the osteoporosis and you're otherwise fit, healthy and menstruating and ovulating, perhaps more importantly, then yeah, you should be able to conceive.
And just finally, the blood test you mentioned that you can get from your GP, should my male partner go to get that?
No, this is to determine whether the female is ovulating or not. So your partner's blood test is irrelevant. If you're struggling to conceive, the gold test or the gold standard test for your partner is a seminal analysis.
Okay.
Which would need to be organised again through a GP or a fertility clinic.
Yeah, it's maybe ovulation and ovulation and sex, I suppose, are the two things people are asking us to talk about, and maybe even a little bit more detail. Perhaps that might be top of the agenda again for next week. But I suppose I should say to listeners, like, we want to be, I suppose, guided by you guys as well in terms of the things you want to need to know, really just about making babies. You can email us lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. Professor Shane Higgins, Master of the National Maternity Hospital, you'll be back next Wednesday.
Look forward to it.
Yeah, we'll chat to you then.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.